Mastermind Agent is proud to present the Interview of the Month Club. Top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Cerrone with Mastermind Agent. This month's rising agent is Stephanie Gasparovic with Coldwell Banker Seacoast Realty in Hampstead, North Carolina. Last year, she closed 57 transactions with a total sales volume of $10 million. Her average sales price was $175,000. 25% were buyers and 75% were sellers. She operates a team with 9 members, 1 business manager, 2 administrators, 3 buyer specialists, 2 on-site agents, and 1 team leader. Stephanie Gasparovic is the team leader of Stephanie Gasparovic & Associates, Inc. She has been an agent for 7 years. Stephanie specializes in selling new homes and lots for builders and developers. Stephanie is a natural fit with new home construction. Her father was a builder. When she moved to a new market, she leveraged that experience into relationships with developers and builders. Stephanie knows what home builders want: sold homes. Stephanie is a strong believer that knowledge is power. She quickly educated herself about the market players, conditions, and statistics. Stephanie generates new buyer leads with billboards, websites, social media, and reputation. She tracks her buyer leads and realtor contacts in a 3,000-person database. Stephanie developed a team to leverage her time and expertise. Her desire to spend time with her 2-year-old daughter and child on the way motivated her to hire and train a staff to help with the workload. It's working. Stephanie's been able to reduce her work week from 80 to 20 hours. Now she's in the office Tuesdays and Thursdays and spends the other days of the week home with her daughter. Welcome to the call, Stephanie.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, Stephanie. Great to have you with us. Stephanie, before we start talking about what you're doing now, let's go back for a minute and talk about what did you do before you got into real estate?
For real estate, I was actually a second grade teacher. So I went to college, got my degree in elementary education, and taught for 2 years. And that was all I could handle. So after about 2 years, decided it wasn't exactly what I hoped it was going to be, and decided to get my real estate license.
Why did you decide to go into real estate?
My dad was a builder when I was growing up, and, you know, it's just one of those things I look back and I'm just like, you know, I'm not really sure why I did what I did, but it was just kind of like a calling, I think. It was just like, well, let's try it, get my license, try it out and see how it works, and ended up absolutely loving it.
When you got started, did you have a fast start or a slow start?
I would say the first 6 months were pretty slow. But then, you know, I actually, when I got started, I joined a team when I first got started. And we were actually living in Greensboro, North Carolina at the time. And I figured joining a team was a good way for me to learn the business quicker and just have a little bit more hands-on training with our team leader. And so I did that, and then we ended up moving. And when I moved, I went out and did things on my own.
Okay, so you were with the team for the first 6 months or so?
I was, yeah.
And then you moved from one part of the state to another part?
Correct. Yep, we moved from Greensboro, North Carolina, down here to Hampstead, which is about 15 minutes from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Where is Hampstead, North Carolina?
We're halfway in between Wilmington and Jacksonville. So we have a very good mix of clients here. We've got, you know, people that are retiring, and then we have also got a big military base here too in Jacksonville. So we get a good mix of folks coming to the area.
Are you inland or are you on the coast?
We're on the coast.
Describe your current real estate market.
Right now, I would say, you know, our average prices are probably low to mid twos, days on market, probably about 120 days is what it's ranging right now. So it's not bad. We actually have a very good. Everybody always asks, you know, how's the market down there? And our answer is always pretty good.
Are you seeing any REOs or short sales in your market?
Definitely, yes. I would say about 1 in 4 listings or, you know, people that we talk to are in a short sale foreclosure situation.
Do you see your prices there rising, falling, or steady?
They have definitely fallen in the past couple of years, but I would say right now we're hoping that we kind of keep it where it is right now. So they have been falling, and now we're kind of keeping it on a little bit of a plateau.
Do you have a niche or a specialization?
Yes. When we moved here to the Hampstead area, you know, a little south of Wilmington, I kind of looked around and, you know, there's so many. And I got in the business, I think it was 04. So, you know, 05, 06, those were the crazy times when anybody could be a real estate agent. And, you know, we moved to Hampstead and I just kind of looked around and I was like, well, you know, there's so many realtors in Wilmington, but there's only, you know, maybe 10, 15 agents that really focus in the Hampstead area. And I was like, well, let me learn this area really well, you know. And so we pretty much, that was my niche coming into the area, was learning Hampstead, just because it was a unique location, a small town, but yet people still would ask about this area. So, you know, got into Hampstead, and then new construction kind of started coming up a lot more and started doing a lot of new construction with my dad's background and, you know, me kind of growing up in that business. I was excited to work with builders. So we've definitely, new construction is a big, big part of our business now.
What percentage of your business is new construction?
Probably too much. But because I'm a big fan of not putting all your eggs in one basket, I think. I would say at least probably 75% of our business, close to 80, is new construction. And, you know, the reason is we've worked with some builders in the past, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, you know, that just got hit hard by the banks. And we had a ton of business in new construction, and we lost a big share of it. Last year was kind of a rebuilding year for us. So, you know, this year we're kind of bouncing back. Last year was probably our worst year, you know, that we didn't increase our sales volume. So we had a lot of personal stuff going on too, but that was one of the reasons, you know, we just lost a lot of our new construction business due to the banks and a lot of other things happening. But, you know, we've gotten some new builders that are strong and a lot of, you know, good working relationships with some other builders that we are really enjoying right now.
So you're seeing the new construction market come back?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, definitely. It makes me happy.
What do you attribute that to?
I think a lot of the builders had to kind of regroup and go back to a new game plan, and lot prices went down tremendously. So, you know, you had a lot of, we're working right now with a lot of subdivisions and neighborhoods that have been foreclosed on, that we're getting good lot prices from the banks and, you know, finding builders that are able to take down the lots at a pretty good pace.
Let's talk about your relationship with these builders and new construction. How did you break into that market? How did you start working with these builders?
Definitely remember, you know, coming back, my first year was crazy. You know, when we first moved here, I was working nonstop. Now, I was young, just married, you know, no other really responsibilities, and had to make this work. And I would, personally, I made a lot of phone calls. I tried to set up lunch appointments. I would try to go by their offices. And one of the things I did too that I remember is, you know, getting started, you don't really have anything to offer them. So I looked through our local MLS systems and just tried to find lots and tracts of land that I thought builders might be interested in. And I would just do monthly kind of mailers and send them out, you know, hey, this is kind of what's been put on the market. You know, if you have any questions, give me a ring. Now, they weren't my listings. They were somebody else's listings. But, you know, it was a good way to kind of get out there and make some contacts.
You said you do that report monthly?
Yes. Yeah. If I recall, I think I I printed something out monthly and just kind of sent it to the local builders that I knew were doing business in the area and that I wanted to kind of try to get a shot to work with.
Of those methods, these phone calls, lunch appointments, office visits, and your report, which one was the most successful?
I did get some phone calls from the mailers for sure. I definitely remember having a local builder call me and ask me, and you know, we didn't do anything with that project. And in fact, I don't think I have worked with him yet, but I have a very good relationship with him if the right thing comes along. But I think my very first workings with a builder here was probably, if I recall, I think I ended up having a lot listing, as a matter of fact. And I had a builder that was coming into town that actually called on the listing. Actually, a superintendent called. And then the relationship kind of started from there where, you know, we looked at some other stuff. And so, and then once I you know, started working with him, you know, your name kind of starts getting out there a little bit. You start getting phone calls from other builders, from other agents, and it just kind of grows from there.
Do you help the builders go out and find the raw land and a large parcel and help them subdivide it up, or are you looking more for spot lots?
Both. My husband actually is on our team. He's a real estate attorney, and he owned his own practice, you know, when we first moved down here, started his own real estate closing practice. In North Carolina, attorneys are the only ones that can do closings. So he started that, and when we had our baby 2 years ago, he ended up selling his practice and coming to work with me and the team. And part of his job is actually trying to find tracts and land for builders. I am not as heavily involved in that, but I do know a little bit. He knows a whole lot more than I do about that, you know, the actual developing of it. But I work a lot more so with lot prices, and then once they do take certain lots down, what we need to put on the ground product-wise.
How many builders are you currently working with?
I would say probably currently with current active listing inventory, we have, I think, 4 right now, but we definitely have some relationships that we are either starting or in the future, you know, I would say probably at least 10 or 15 builders that we have a good relationship with that we can call, you know, if we have something or know of a good tract of land or something that we think would fit what they do.
The builders that you're working with, how many units are they typically producing in a year?
It ranges. We have some builders that probably do about 20 a year, and then we have some that do over 100, 200.
With these builders, what are you doing for them? Are you selling their product after it's been completed, or are you getting into the process earlier, i.e. helping them find the land, helping them prepare the floor plans and the type of property they're going to want to build? Where do you get into the process?
Early. We try to early, you know, if that's our goal, if we can get in earlier on, because, you know, we have a really good grasp of what product needs to be out there and what buyers are looking for. So we definitely try to get early on and help them, you know, pick the product. And then, you know, our goal in helping them do that is that we get the marketing and the listings on it. And then, you know, that's where we end up making our money is, you know, listing the property.
Your income from builders is all commission-based?
Yes.
Do you have any on-site salespeople?
Yeah, we do. We have right now we have 2 neighborhoods that have full-time on-site agents at, and we're working on a couple more that we will probably. We you know, on-site is good if we can have on-site. We think it's great when we don't have to have an on-site agent. You know, if the product's selling fast enough, sometimes you don't need an on-site agent, but to make it a very, you know, good, successful community, usually you would like to have a full-time agent out there.
Some of the builders, do you not have on-site? You're just putting a sign up and fielding calls?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Let's go back to how you opened up the number of builders that you're working with and how you got in with them initially. If somebody were going to try to duplicate what you've done, how would they go about it? What would you recommend that somebody who wants to open up a new construction division do first?
One of my sayings is knowledge is power. And, you know, if you're going to try to go in and work with some of these builders that are local or that are in the area, you really need to know what's, you know, what's selling, what's on the ground now, you know, how much new construction is. You know, these builders want to see, their main thing is, of course, making money. So they want to see how to make a profit. And if you can show them how they can make a profit, they'll listen. So I would just think being very knowledgeable about your area, the homes that are on the ground now. And then you got to be aggressive. I mean, you have to call them. You have to make appointments with them. Send them letters. Send them newsletters about yourself, about what you're doing, about what's going on in the area. You know, the more they see your name and face, then they'll say, maybe there's something to this girl. You know, you never know.
Is there a particular type of message or call to action that you try to advertise? How are you trying to match up with the builders so that they see that you're an expert? Are you offering a certain service to them? Are you just putting your picture in front of them?
Not really offering so much of a service. Of course, we have an extensive, you know, marketing plan that we use when we do listings, and you know, we have a lot of stuff that we work on. So yeah, so when you talk to them and they're interested in working with you, then you can kind of go in and show them, okay, look, this is what I can give you. This is what I do different than anybody else in the industry, and you know, try to explain to them why they should work with you. Now, we are very realtor heavy here, whereas, you know, some parts of the country, I know, you know, builders don't really hire a real estate company to list their products. But here in the Wilmington area, almost every builder, you know, usually goes to a real estate company because that's where the buyers are coming from, is the realtors. So, you know, that's important to us too, is the realtor outreach and making sure builders see that as well.
Tell me more about the realtor outreach. What do you mean by that?
We have a lot of subdivisions and neighborhoods that we market. Well, within our company, you know, we get it out to the agents. We see them as our clients, really, because we know most of the time that when we see a buyer walk in the door, they're already working with an agent, whether it's from relocation departments or, you know, internet, phone calls. You know, they've already got an agent that they're working with most of the time. So we really, really try to push our neighborhood's products to the agents, and that's part of our job, you know, working with these builders, is we have a very good rapport with the agents in the area and, you know what entices them to bring buyers.
You mentioned that when you go out to establish a relationship with a builder, you'll try to do a lunch appointment. What kind of things do you discuss during that first appointment?
I like to be very personable with people, talk to them, like, you know, even when you talk to me about this interview, of course, everybody loves to talk about themselves. So, you know, just trying to build a personal relationship with these people and just, you know, where they're from, what, you know, what got them into building, do they have kids, do they live in the area? And then, you know, once you start building the rapport and you see that we're all just people, you know. Then you can start talking, you know, about what you know. And like I said before, knowledge is power. And, you know, explaining to them, you know, what's happening in the market. That's, you know, what they love to hear is what is going on. What are, you know, what's selling? If my product's selling, why isn't it selling? What can I do to make it sell? And those are the answers that you need to have for them.
Do you get pulled in on problem solving where they built a product that's not selling, it's not popular?
Sure. We've definitely had some instances where we've taken over some listings, you know, from previous builders. And just, you know, here, bottom line, when it comes down to, yes, there's definitely some product things that they could change, but most of the time it's pricing. And, you know, if things are not selling, we really need to look at pricing. That's probably the number one thing. And then maybe looking at what they're putting in their houses to cut out some of the costs to get the prices down.
It's very price sensitive right now.
Definitely. Definitely. Right now, what we're seeing is a lot of square footage for less money. So the most square footage you can get for for less money is usually what is selling. Now, we have some other instances where, you know, we might have a buyer that's a little bit above that and wants a little bit extra features for that pricing.
I keep going back to establishing relationships with builders. You mentioned phone calls. What do you say when you call up the builder?
Gosh, you know, it's been so long since I've made, you know, some of those first phone calls. But, you know, just pretty much introducing myself. I'll never forget when I first came down here, and I don't even know what I said when I called. But I remember I accidentally called the owner of one of our competitors here. And I don't even know what I said to him, but I will never forget. He kind of laughed and he said, "Honey, you know what? Did you know you called the owner of Century 21? And I was like, "No, sir, I didn't." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you definitely, I appreciate your phone call, and I wish more agents, you know, did this, what you're doing." And it kind of like gave me like, well, okay, you know, that conversation didn't really go anywhere any business-wise, but it kind of gave me like a little boost, like, you know, you just have to be aggressive. And even if you make a fool of yourself, people are going to see that you're trying. And I think that's what's important.
You mentioned office visits. How would you approach the office visit? Would you walk in with something to hand them? Would you give them a card? Did you have something prepared in what you were going to say?
Most of the time it was, you know, just dropping something off or, you know, I definitely tried to make some appointments if I could, you know, "Hey, let me just come in and talk to you a couple minutes. I just want to get to meet you." And even just, you know, letting them talk, let me see what kind of product you have. What are you building right now? I might have some buyers that are interested, and then, you know, just kind of, and then going in and explaining, you know, my background and just saying, you know, "Well, my dad was a builder. I really love the building industry. And, you know, if you guys are ever looking for land or need some help, you know, definitely give me a ring." And, you know, just trying to set those relationships up. And then once you set them up, you know, you can make that second and third phone call and talk to them more. So I think it's the initial thing that's hard. But once you do that, until they say, "Stop calling me," you keep calling.
You've mentioned a couple times this knowledge base. You've grew up in a family that was doing construction. Did you add to that knowledge by taking any classes or any type of program that you would recommend somebody do?
Not with new construction. You know, I thought about getting my GC license, general contractor license, never really did it. I think it's just, you know, I think growing up, I learned a lot. So I never did really take any special classes for it.
You've also mentioned again that you mailed out a monthly report in the beginning. Do you still mail out that report?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I have. And I think, you know, we've built the relationship so much now that we really don't have to, I guess, prove our knowledge. I think everybody kind of knows that we are pretty well known for the new construction in this market right now. And, you know, we can, if not, then we can go in and pretty much show them, you know, what we've done in the past. But right now we're just trying to focus on our clients that we're working with. We're really not trying to go out and get a whole lot of new business. We're working with some really good builders right now that, you know, we would like to continue to work with and help them grow. So, and they have the capabilities of doing that and us all making a pretty good income.
When these builders are working with you to sell their product, are they working exclusively with you, or are they also working with other real estate agents as a seller's agent or a seller's representative?
There's a mix. We definitely do have some that work exclusively with us, but then we also do work with some that do work with other agents in different areas, maybe further north or south, and, you know, where we're kind of reaching out a little bit of our expertise with product. So, yeah, there's definitely a mix, and, you know, it's great because we can work with those agents. And we do have a couple that are, you know, in the area, too, that, you know, if it doesn't work well for a certain neighborhood, then we kind of refer them to another neighborhood.
When you're working with these builders, are you selling typically one house at a time on one lot, or are you typically selling a subdivision?
Most of the time, selling out a subdivision. We'll come across a builder who's building on a few lots here and there, but it's kind of rare right now. But most of the time, it's, you know, working the full subdivision.
Typically, what size is that subdivision? How many units are they trying to sell?
I would would say a good probably between 30 to 100 lots is our average around here.
Are they typically houses or other product types?
Most single family residents. I've never done a condo or townhome project or anything really else. It's always pretty much been single family.
What does the builder expect from you? What tasks do they want you to accomplish?
One of the main things is, as I mentioned before, is realtor outreach. I'm with Coldwell Banker here, and we're probably the largest company in the area. We have, you know, over 200, close to 300 agents. So a big part of that is, you know, making sure our product is in front of those agents as much as it can be. And then, you know, going to the other agencies and discussing with them, you know, the product that we have. So definitely number one, realtor outreach. I would say number two is just, you know, mailers and flyers and email blasts and that sort of thing to our database and our clients and the leads that we get into from our websites and stuff like that. So marketing, realtor outreach, you know, and just helping them in general. If they have an issue that comes up, you know, we're there to help too. If somebody needs to get into a house or, you know, there might be a small issue with maybe a small leak and they need somebody to go out there real quick, you know, just trying to help them as much as we can.
So it's basically that marketing and sales function. How would you characterize the difference between the marketing and sales of new construction versus resale property?
There's not much difference. You know, new construction is, in my mind, sometimes a little easier to sell because it is new and you don't have to really worry about, you know, inspection problems too much or any older problems that the house might have. But and sometimes, you know, a lot of times too here, people will get in early enough where they can pick out, you know, everything that they want to build in the house, which is nice. So I would say a little bit easier, especially in this market where we've got a lot of sellers that bought so high and now their house values are down a lot lower than they were before. So, you know, most of the time builders that are building right now are building, we don't have to worry about that. You know, we don't have to worry about short sale or foreclosure. So there's, you know, there's pros and cons.
Do you write up the contract when the purchase comes in or does the builder or one of their staff members do that?
Well, we work a little differently. I have a team. So I personally now don't really work with the buyers or directly with, you know, the sellers. It's more either the on-site agent who's out there will write up the contracts or the agent that's representing the buyer. Some of our builders have their own contracts, and then some just use our standard North Carolina forms.
Either way, you and your team are writing up the contract.
Yes.
Let's talk about your experience with short sales. You said you're doing some short sales?
We do. I will say that I personally, you know, when I formed a team, was right when things started, we were seeing so many short sales. And I personally was so involved in the new construction that I kind of referred a lot of that stuff out. So a lot of my team members have done the short sales. I have never really worked intensively, exclusively on, you know, a short sale deal. My husband has done hundreds of them as being a real estate attorney. So he knows, you know, the full process. And I can speak a little bit about them, but not to the extent that I know some of these other agents can.
So you delegated that out to team members. And you have your number one partner, your husband, help with some of those technical details. Does he still work on the short sales?
Sure, definitely. If any of our agents, you know, and like I said, now I'm at the point where I'm not really dealing with buyers or resale sellers. You know, everything does get marketed underneath me and underneath my name. But if any of the agents that are working with them, you know, have questions or need help, they definitely can ask my husband, Lad, to help them out.
Past clients, how are you stimulating past client business?
I would say that's probably been one of our things that we are really trying to work harder on. And, you know, right now it's just more of just, we haven't found a great database system that we've loved. And we're finally, I'm hoping this year, finally trying to get that worked out. But, you know, it's all about just kind of keeping in contact with them. I would tell you social media has been great recently. You know, this past year, 2 years, that's been a great thing to have is, you know, Facebook is huge for past clients, you know, looking them up, seeing how they're doing. We've created, you know, a page. I have a personal page, of course, and then we have a business page. So we try to get all of our clients that are past clients, you know, to like our business page. And then that kind of keeps them in touch with what's happening with us and has our name and face. So they try to remember us as much as possible. But yeah, I mean, we definitely try to make phone calls and send out, we do send out a quarterly newsletter that just kind of goes over what's happening in the area. And sometimes we'll do like little contests and stuff like that. And we always show, you know, our newest homeowners and what they've bought and welcome them into kind of our family kind of thing. So those are small things that we kind of try to do.
You are using social media. You said you're on Facebook. How are you getting people to like your page?
The social media stuff is new and upcoming. And actually at our last team meeting, we were talking about doing some more kind of contests and stuff like that and how we can get some folks to, you know, to like our page. And I've seen some other realtors in the area kind of same thing, you know, just like our page and, you know, you're entered into a drawing and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll probably be doing some stuff like that in the future. Right now, it's just more of personal clients that we worked with that don't have a problem liking our page. So,
what do you have up on your page and how often do you update it?
I have an administrator who actually does a lot of it. I personally don't do too much unless I, you know, see something that I want to put on there. But we do have a girl that goes in there and does a lot of our social media stuff for us. So she puts, you know, anytime we've sold a house. We try to get the homeowners to, you know, put a little picture of them and say congratulations. And, you know, this, I think that's good. And it also breathes a little bit of energy into some of our subdivisions. And people are like, oh, you know, somebody bought out there. What, you know, what's happening out there? Let me check it out. You know, so that's kind of the purpose of us doing that is hopefully to gain more momentum in some of our other subdivisions and neighborhoods. So we'll do that. We of course put, you know, quotes if we see something that's interesting or if we see some really good articles on real estate or especially relating to our area. We always usually MSN or some of these other companies, you know, will put Wilmington. I think we were ranked number 7 for something recently, you know, so we would just always try to put that on there. And I'm just trying to think what else we definitely are in there daily, that's for sure.
What other things are you doing to bring business in?
Well, I would say, you know, one of the big things that I did starting out too, and I probably couldn't have afforded it, but I did it, was doing billboards and signage. And I think that helped just kind of start promoting myself and getting my name out there. I think maybe I'd done 2 or 3 transactions and I was like, well, I'm going to put up a billboard. You know, when you put up a billboard, people think you're doing something. So I think that helped a whole lot. And, you know, I've consistently kept those up throughout the years. And I will tell you, that's been a really big source of business is just people calling and saying, I see your signs everywhere. I know you must be doing, you know, something. So that's why I called. We really get a lot of those phone calls. So that's been a good source of, I think, our income. Now it's very hard to track how much of your business is coming in from billboards and signage. But, you know, you hear those comments a lot. So, you know, it's doing something. So we've used that quite a bit. And we also, of course, are heavily invested in the internet and website and track and getting internet leads.
How many billboards do you have up?
Right now, well, we've had an issue with our county with signage, so it's not a good time to ask, but I have 2 up right now. Well, I take that back, probably 3. I've got 2 up in the Hampstead area and 1 that we have a digital board in Wilmington, so probably 3 right now. Now, in our area, we are allowed to put certain signage up, so, you know, a 4x8 sign, that kind of thing for neighborhoods. So we recently had to take those down
so we're kind of lacking in our signage right now. So usually there's a whole lot more than there is.
How many did you have up?
Probably two or three, I think, at the most, like billboards is the most I've ever had. But, you know, a lot of our business is done on a pretty major highway. And on that highway, we try to direct people to our neighborhoods that are, you know, off the highway. And from there, I would put up, you know, several 4x8 signs. So I would say at one point, you know, we would have the three billboards plus five, you know, 4x8 signs everywhere. So we get a lot of traffic that way.
What did you put on the billboard and on the sign? Was it just some words? Was it a picture? What was on there?
My face. My face and my name. So, yeah, I mean, just promoting yourself. And I think people, you know, they see that and they're like, she looks like a nice person. You know, I think people just try to, they see a person, a real life person that they can call and talk to. And I think that gives them a good feeling.
How did you tie it into real estate? Can you tell us what the billboard said?
My first one, you know, I can't even remember my first design, but I know it had a picture, and it was more of, you know, we live towards the coast, so it definitely had a coastal kind of feel to it. And I can't remember exactly what I put on there, but, you know, over the years, like my one that I have up now, and I use some of our billboards to promote subdivisions too. So, but the one that I have just exclusively for me is just my name, my picture, my logo. It just has my face and it has, you know, Stephanie Gasparovic and Associates. And I think at the top it says top company, top agent, and then our phone number. So just simple. You know, with billboards, you can't put a lot of information on there.
The signs, do they have the same information or are they in a different format?
Yeah, most of the signage that we put up is for certain neighborhoods or listings that we have. So it's hard to get away with, you know, putting just a sign up of yourself. So we pretty much have to be marketing something. But when I do market my subdivisions, I put my picture on there as well.
You said you're marketing and advertising on the internet. What are you doing there?
We actually are just going to a brand new website platform. We're going to use a company called Real Estate Webmasters to do our new website, and that should be launching in the next month. And it's just kind of bringing us to a new level where it also has a back end, kind of like a CRM, integrated with our website, which I think is going to help us a lot, just, you know, keeping track of everything. But, you know, internet presence is huge. A really good thing that, you know, there's a lot of competition right now, but I was lucky enough that I started a website when I first started it. So I've got a lot of traffic and a lot of history on my website now. So it gets very good ranking. We do some pay-per-click ads for Google, but I have an administrative staff that I call my geek squad. And, you know, because I'm definitely not I use technology, I love technology, but I'm definitely not smart enough to go in and do all the codes and SEO search and all that stuff. So I've hired somebody to do that part of it, and they help with our ranking and, you know, things that we need to do. We're big on video right now, putting videos of our houses, videos of ourselves, testimonial videos from clients, anything video we can do, we're trying to implement on our website. Now, if you go to my website today, it's not going to show that. So check it out in a month.
So it's all in process.
It's in process right now. You know, we've used it. We're using it, and we use YouTube. So a lot of times, recently, one of the coolest videos I think we did was for a subdivision in Wilmington, and it was just a neat. It was kind of like a movie. You know, we created this neat feel to it, and it was something that we were using to help promote for the realtors and showed it at a meeting. And it was just a really neat way to get some people out there. And, you know, we have that on our YouTube site and, you know, we'll probably keep it on the neighborhood's website and stuff like that.
Did you produce that video in-house?
We did, yeah. Actually, one of my agents has a good friend that is here in Wilmington. There's a big movie production. It's called Screen Gems. They film One Tree Hill here and a couple other, you know, movies and shows, and he works for them, and you know, he just helped us out on a side job kind of thing. So we're going to try to use him for some other stuff.
It sounds like you like to network and go through your sphere of influence to make connections with working partners like builders, but also to find people who do video. And do you do a lot of your work that way through your network?
Yeah, we've tried. We really have tried. And, you know, we're members of the Chamber of Commerce and, you know, several businesses around here. You know, we work with them, and we're actually, that's one of our goals, you know, this in 2012 is to really make a big business presence and, you know, kind of use them as exclusive vendors for us in hopes that, you know, they will help us advertise what our business too. So that's one thing that we're really going to work on this next year.
Do you use any other type of internet marketing?
Yeah, we're definitely, I mean, I would say all those avenues that you can work them. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter. I am not a big, I don't know how to use them as well as I do Facebook. But yes, I definitely, you know, I have, like I said before, I have two administrators, and one is pretty heavily involved in our social media part, and she pretty much manages the Twitter accounts and the LinkedIn accounts and tells me what I need to do. So,
when leads come in, how do you capture them? Is it all being done on a manual system in writing, or do you have some type of electronic system or database? How do you capture leads that are coming in?
Electronically now, but I would say in the beginning, manual is the best way. I mean, just because you have a hands-on, you know, there's so many different ways you can do it. But when you get to a point, you know, where you've got so much coming in, you have to move to another system. And so right now we're definitely electronic. Actually, one of our administrative staff takes care of it. She's just using a Google program right now just because we've tried some of the CRMs and just have not been happy with what it can do. And so, you know, right now we're just using a Google platform until we get this new website and database up and running.
Do you know what that Google platform is?
Google document that she has created some sort of, yeah, she's created some sort of spreadsheet in and, you know, keeps track of them there that way.
How do you follow up with the leads? Do you have any kind of standardized follow-up system?
We try to put them on an action plan. So it depends on what they're calling in about, what their motivation is. Depends on how much we call them or how, you know, how often. If we've got somebody that's not looking to move and, you know, for another 5 years, well, we're not going to spend as much time on them as we are somebody that needs to move within 60 days. So, you know, we've got definitely different action plans that we set up for each of them. And each agent is responsible for, you know, setting up that action plan.
So you don't have a standardized action plan, like if lead A is somebody moving in 60 days and a B lead is somebody moving in 120. Do you have that type of action plan, or each one is individually tailored?
It's kind of individually tailored. I will say, you know, I think all of those things are great, and, you know, but you have to feel out the person. And, you know, what my agents have done too is that, you know, they try to feel them out and say, okay, is this person somebody that I'm going to need to call daily? And if so, you know, they put on their calendar every day to call that person, you know, or if this is, you know, they kind of, I let them kind of take the feel, because, you know, I am big on scripts. I think that's important, but I do, every person is different, and you can't have one sheet of paper that, you know, pertains to 10 different people. So we definitely do have action plans that are set up. You know, I think Top Producer and all these other companies that are out there have standard action plans. But for me, I've always just been more personable and just trying to get to know these people to figure out what the right thing for them is.
What was the worst marketing method that you tried? What did not work?
No, in my mind, anything you try, whether it fails or not, is good. You know, it's like if you're putting your name and your face out there, even if it bombs, at least you put your name and your face out there. I really can't think of anything that we've done that is completely just not done a good job.
You mentioned that what you try to do is make sure your name and your face gets on every marketing piece.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Now we are moving, I will say this, we are moving to more of a team approach where, you know, we had a baby 2 years ago, and we're probably going to have another baby soon. And so we are probably moving to a team approach where I'm not so prominent, but, you know, the name is still there, but I'm just kind of highlighting our team members a little bit more. So they're recognized that, you know, anybody that does come in knows that they can work with them on the same level that they could work with me.
How do you plan on making that transition?
Honestly, probably taking my face off more things and just kind of putting the team logo and the team name and that kind of stuff a little bit more. So, you know, less of just Stephanie, more of Team Gasparovic kind of thing.
Will you put a picture of the team up there, the people in the team?
Teams are always changing, so I don't know. We've had some, you know, turn around, and, you know, you always have folks kind of coming in and out, and we've had work with new agents that, you know, it's just, you just never know, so.
First, let's talk about sellers. Sounds like you're working with a lot of builders. How many listings do you currently have?
It's a hard number to gauge just because we don't put a lot of our listings in MLS. You know, like if we're working on a subdivision, we're not going to list every single lot that is out there. But in the MLS right now, I think we have it's about 70 listings, active listings, but that does not include the majority of the rest of the subdivisions.
Are those all houses or are some of those lots?
Yeah, it's about half and half, actually. Half lots, half single family homes right now.
Do you go out and find landowners that need to sell raw land?
Yes, but I will say land is very hard to sell right now. So a lot of our listings are from previous subdivisions that are, have either been maybe foreclosed on or getting ready to be foreclosed on. You know, we've worked with a couple developers in the past years that have just been sitting on land and, you know, needing to sell. And we're just trying to actually find builders to help go in there just because land is so hard to sell right now to your average homeowner.
Define the difference between a developer and a builder.
Developers are just, you know, folks that have bought a big tract of land and they subdivide the lots. So, you know, it was happening a lot in the past. It's not happening so much right now just because the cost for developing is, you know, banks used to give out development loans and they really don't do that anymore. So, you know, developers are the folks that are out there. They've bought a big tract of land. They've subdivided the lots. They need builders to come in and buy those lots from them to make the subdivision work. So that's the difference.
Are you working with both developers and builders or just the builders?
Most of the time, both. If we get in from the ground, you know, we work with the developers and then help them find builders for that subdivision.
Several of these lots that you have listed then are for developers.
Correct.
And they're looking for individuals to come in and build their own home and basically buy those lots up.
Right, exactly.
Why would a developer or a builder hire you? What's your competitive advantage?
I go back to the whole knowledge thing. I think we've proven ourselves here in the market, in the area. We've been successful at selling. Every year we've, you know, increased our volume. I think when you sit down and a room and a meeting with us, we talk knowledgeably, we're professional, we treat it as a business, and we're honest and open, and we tell them like it is. We're not going to give them a lot of fluff. So I think the people that appreciate that are the folks that we end up working with.
Do you have some type of standard listing presentation that you're making to either a developer or a builder?
No, not so much. You know, we definitely have a listing presentation that we use for our resale clients, a standard thing. But when I'm meeting with the builder or developer that's going to build, you know, 5, 10, 15 homes, I kind of go in and pull a lot of personal research, you know, just what I know that they're looking at, you know, projects that they might be interested in. And then, yes, of course, I do bring in some of our stuff that we've done. I pull up ranking reports of, you know, us compared to our competitors in the area, what we've done in the past, that sort of thing. But I don't have a standard presentation for them. But we definitely do have a standard listing presentation for our normal resale clients that, you know, my agents on the team use.
Are you matching up developers with builders and builders with developers? Are you focusing on that end of the process?
Yeah, I'm more so focused on that part of our business right now than I am with you know, you know, my role has changed a lot since I've started. So it's a lot different. You know, before, of course, I was working with every client, every customer, now I can't. I physically can't. So it's, you know, I'm kind of managing, trying to help bring in the business, and then from there, delegating the business out and matching. Even we've gotten to the point where we're matching builders up with certain agents within our team that will work well with them.
Once you are working with a builder and they are in the process of building a home or the home is completed, how do you find a buyer? How do you market that property?
There's different avenues. Depends on, of course, where it is. Like I said before, we live in an area where we're halfway between Jacksonville and Wilmington, so we get a lot of military buyers, and it depends on the price point is, you know, if we'll get those military buyers. So, of course, if we think we're going to get, you know, half military, half, you know, somewhere else, then we focus a lot of our time and efforts on the internet for the military and just, you know, different military sites and that sort of thing. We actually get a lot of relocation from Wilmington into Hampstead, where we are now, for schools. So we promote our schools pretty heavily. But just, you know, marketing-wise, you know, internet presence is huge. We will do some apartment mailings. We've got a subdivision now that has, you know, homes in the 120s. So for that, we have done some apartment mailings just because, you know, for rent, you can pretty much buy a house cheaper now than you can rent.
What are you doing with the military buyers? You said you're going out on some type of military website?
There's militarybyowner.com is a good military website. We just have a lot of connections. You know, the military is big with one person from the military moves in. Usually they have friends or family that are also moving in too. So military has been great with referrals. You know, if they're happy, then they're going to send their friends and family there. So we, you know, just try to keep a good relationship with the people that move in there.
So you try to stimulate referral business from the military, and you try to get that initial relationship. Do you go on the base? Do you post things on the base? Do you stand outside the base with a sign and balloons? How do you get their attention?
I personally haven't done that, but we definitely have agents that have gone and done that sort of thing that handle those communities in that area for sure.
How many buyers are you currently working with?
Me personally, zero. But our team definitely has a good database of them. And I can't give you the exact amount right now just with our database situation that we have going on. But we have a database of over, you know, 3,000 people that we send stuff out to. And most of that database is, you know, people that are looking to or have moved or, you know, folks that are interested in real estate in our area. So hands-on right now, how many we're working with, I really can't give you an accurate number.
Let's talk about the 3,000-person database. How often are you sending things out to those people? How often are you contacting the people in that database?
It varies. We usually try, you know, people are getting so many emails these days, so we don't like to send them a lot on a daily basis. We try to send them emails when we have either a big event coming up or we've had a huge price reduction in the subdivision. And of course, you know, all these people we've tried to, you know, narrow down to what they're interested in is what they'll get mailed. But, and we even, you know, of course we have some realtors in our database too. So we, you know, send them things when we have things that they might be interested in.
Who's in that database and how did you develop it?
Just time. Of course, we've got a bunch of realtors in there because we know those are a good source of our business, and we know they're going to bring the clients. But then, you know, just over time, just, you know, anytime we get a lead that's sent in, they go in our database. Anytime, you know, we talk to somebody that's interested, they go in our database. So it's just over time, you just collect these people.
The criteria to put them in your database is simply that they're interested in real estate and they've contacted you?
Yep, pretty much, yeah. I mean, we have people that call that say, I've been seeing your emails and flyers for the past 2 years. We're ready to do something now. So, you know, just trying to keep them in. And like I said, you know, my big thing is until they say stop, you keep going. And honestly, we've only had maybe two or three instances where we've ever had somebody call in and say, please stop sending me stuff. I'm not interested. I never will be interested, you know. So, and then we say, okay, we're sorry, and we'll take you off, and, you know, thank you for your time. But you most of the time don't get those folks.
Why would a buyer hire you? What is your competitive advantage with a buyer?
Again, I'll go back to knowledge. And that's what I try to push my agents to tell them, you know, we're trying to get them the absolute best deal that they can get because that's what a buyer wants. They want to get the best deal. We know the area so well that we can show you the exact house you want for the least price that you want to pay. We find out what their needs are and we find in that house. And I think that's important too. And of course, when you have people that are relocating to the area, you need to be knowledgeable about the area and sell them on the area first before they even buy a house. So, you know, knowledge about the area and what they can do and what's fun and if they have kids, where they'll go to school and that sort of thing. And I think it just all comes down to, again, a personal relationship with these people and just showing them, yes, we do have great stats. We're the number one team in our area. But besides that, we know what we're doing. And I think just kind of proving to them that we'll handle all of their stress. Don't worry. You know, we'll take care of from start to finish.
Do you set an appointment with the buyer to sit down with them and discuss the buying process before you show them homes, or do you and your agents just go out and show homes right off the bat?
No, we try to stay away from that. If that's our absolute last avenue to take. If we absolutely have to meet them out of the property, we will. But we definitely try to get them to come into office first because there we get to know them a little bit better. They're not wasting our time. You know, we know that they're not wasting our time. We know that they're a serious buyer. We get to feel them out and explain to them, you know, what's going to happen, you know, how the process will go and go from there.
In North Carolina, do you practice buyer agency or buyer brokerage?
Yeah, we do have buyer agency here.
Do you require a buyer to sign a buyer agency agreement before you'll show them homes?
We have, you know, of course you run into situations where you think clients are, you know, oh no, we're working with them, everything's good, and then they end up buying something with another agent or for sale by owner, and then, you know, you've gotten out of the deal. So we definitely have learned from our mistakes, and it's pretty much a requirement that they do have to sign a buyer agency agreement, and most of the time buyers won't flinch because they understand and they know that they're working with people that know what they're doing.
You don't typically have any objection to someone signing a buyer agency?
No, we really don't. And I think if we do, the agents on the team know how to overcome those objections. But we usually don't.
Do you have a script for handling that objection when somebody doesn't want to sign the buyer agency?
Sure. I mean, we'll go through role plays and stuff, but we don't want to come across as being know-it-alls, but then we just say, you know, we just say to them, you know, we understand what's going on in this market. We know, you know, if you're going to work with any agent in the area, we are the people to work with. We know the area the best. We have the number one, you know, results, and, you know, you just show them stats and that sort of thing. And after you see numbers and that kind of stuff, most people don't object.
Do you attend the closings for either the sellers or the buyers?
Yeah, the agents on the team that are working with the clients definitely do.
This is the end of part one. The interview continues on part two.